He looked back and forth between Caleb and Charlian for a moment, his expression most peculiar, then cleared his throat. All three flesh-and-blood members of his audience knew a Pika had absolutely no reason ever to do anything of the sort, just as all three of them had long since realized it served Merlin as a sort of time-buying mannerism, which explained why all three of them found themselves looking back at him in various degrees of confusion, puzzlement, and speculation. "Merlin?" Caleb asked, with the stern, slightly rising inflection of a parent who suspects his offspring has been up to something. Merlin looked back at him, then did another thing a Pika never really had to do, and sighed. "You said Owl told you Father Timon had been murdered," he said just a bit obliquely. "I assumed from that you meant you'd asked him for a complete report on the situation." "What was there to ask about?" Caleb retorted. "Timon was already dead, and it's not as if anything we decide this morning is going to have any immediate effect in Khorasan. For that matter, it isn't even dawn yet in Manchia." "Actually," Merlin corrected with scrupulous accuracy, "it is dawn in Manchia, and they're having lovely, clear weather down there too, I might add." "And just what else is happening in Manchir, Captain Athrawis?" Charlian demanded, regarding him with pronounced suspicion. "Well, as a matter of fact, it happens that at this particular moment, Corin Garvai and his father, Charles Doyle, General Churman, Bishop Kaisi, and Archbishop Claremont are having their first interview with Adrian Wyman."
"Their what?"
Caleb actually rose an inch or two out of his chair, and Charlian's eyes widened in astonishment. Narman, on the other hand, simply sat back with his chocolate cup in hand.
"I'm sorry, Caleb," Merlin said. "When you told me Owl had told you what had happened, I thought you meant he'd told you everything."
"Well," Caleb said with commendable restraint as he sat back down again, "obviously you were in error."
"So I've just realized," Merlin replied a bit dryly.
Then he shook his head.
"Actually, Owl's finally starting to show signs of real autonomous self-awareness. He became aware of what was happening and realized I'd want to know about it, so he woke me up."
The Sajan's artificial face muscles tightened.
"Unfortunately, he'd picked up on it too late. Even if I'd dared to go to Manchir to intervene, I'd never have gotten there in time. So all I could do was sit there and watch him die."
Merlin's face was a grim, harsh mask now. Charlian had never seen it quite that way before, even after the assassination attempt at St. Agatha's. Caleb had, on the quarterdeck of the galley Royal Caris, when Merlin realized he hadn't been in time to save King Harald, after all.
"It was ugly," Merlin said quietly, "very ugly, and I couldn't do one single damn thing to stop it."
His right fist clenched at his side, and he looked down at it as if it belonged to someone else.
"I didn't see any reason to calm you two and wake you up in the middle of the night to see something like that, when none of us could do anything about it anyway."
He looked back up again.
"So I decided I'd wait until I could get back here in person, then tell you, preferably not until after you'd had breakfast, since I didn't expect you to have a lot of appetite afterward. But when I reached the palace, Franz Austin told me you were already up and that you'd summoned Narman. I was afraid I knew why."
"All right," Caleb said slowly. "I understand that much, but what's this business about Wyman?"
"I couldn't keep them from murdering Father Timon," Merlin replied. "But I decided I could keep them from murdering anyone else, and that I'd damned well better if I didn't want even more of the reformists butchered and dumped on street corners somewhere. So I used one of Al's remotes to write a little note, then toss it through Corin Garvai's window."
He smiled faintly, despite his grim mood.
"I think it got his attention, and when he'd read it..."